First of all, welcome young men, young women, to this teen Bible study. I know you made it through the liquid sunshine outside, so it's good to see you here. Kind of unexpected today, or at least it was for me. So let's jump right into it. Start off with a question. I even heard somebody mention this right before the Bible study. Who enjoys watching movies? Show of hands. I like watching movies. We all do. Well, the actors that are chosen to fit a certain role in those movies, a role in which they're expected to learn and to perform to the best of their ability. They rehearse and they practice these roles in order to improve and learn, so their performance will have an impact on their audience, on those coming to watch them, on those that are around them, in this sense, in a theater, on a movie screen. They're on the movie screen. Well, that's entertainment. That's not real life. What is real is the life, the role, that you are living each and every day. And yes, it is a role that you play. It's an important role. A part of your life is your role within your own congregation. Whether you're here at headquarters, whether you're in the far-flung areas and congregations throughout the world. If you're a youth, you have a role in your congregation, a role that has a greater impact and in scope and importance than you realize. And that's what we're going to talk about today, your role and its impact on your local congregation. Yeah, we'll broaden it out a little bit, but it's focusing on what you can do to impact those in your local congregation. So let's begin by opening your Bibles. We'll start in Proverbs chapter 20. Preface this a little bit by saying whether we are one or 101, we are all children in God's eyes. We're all children in God's eyes. So it's Proverbs chapter 20. We'll begin in verse 11. Chapter 20 and verse 11 states, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." The word child there means infant to adolescence. Well, you're not infants, and you're beyond adolescence. You're young men and women, but as I preferenced, we are all children to God. And these are God's words, words that God inspired. So what all is that one scripture saying? It's saying even a child is known by his, or you can say her, doings. Well, if even a child is known, how much more are you, young men, young women, known by what you do? What impact of what you do affects your local congregation? Think about that. Think about that. We start off also with a story. I like to tell stories. This is the first part of the same story. It ties into this. It was my first impression of the youth in God's church. My first congregation, it was older individuals. I wasn't the youngest, but I wasn't the oldest, but there weren't youth in there. Now my second soon followed, then a third, and then a fourth. Each one of those had more and more young people. They went from infants to young, you know, men and women like yourselves. Coming out of the world and into the church, I had never seen what, you know, anyone, let alone a child or a youth or a young man and woman, following God's laws. I didn't know what to expect, but what I saw had an impact on me. I still remember it today. This is well over a decade ago. That impact affected me simply by what the doings were seen or observed by the, be it literally from infants, how they were taught and trained to behave, up to the young men and women. As a matter of fact, one of those congregations had many of you in it. And you're still young men and women, but much younger. And you were impressive. You made an impression upon me Now think, not only if you impressed one person, how many more did you impress? And how big of impact did you make in their lives? Look at it this way. It's easy to see a light shine in a dark world. And trust me, you are lights. And this world gets darker and darker. What I saw was a light, lights in a well-lit room. You were shining among other lights. And the youth do in God's church. And it affects, and like I mentioned, it has a greater impact and scope of importance than you realize. So, your role in the congregation, it all stems from how you impact those around you through your right ways, through these doings by which even a child is known. But we're all known by these doings. So we're going to look at another scripture. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We will turn to a few scriptures. But I'll hearken back to some from time to time. Whether we turn back, that's yet to be determined. I'll see. This is a scripture that we're going to learn more about the importance of youth through the eyes of God. Through the eyes of God. So it's Matthew 18 and verse 3. We'll begin in verse 3. States. And said, truly, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The context to this verse, Christ was being asked, who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And the men asking him thought, it's going to be one of them. Christ said no. He immediately went to the actions, the doings of a child. And equated that. I'll keep going. Verse 5, and whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Christ was equating a little child receiving and offending a little child as to receiving and offending him. That's an important role that the Father inspired Christ to teach and to share, to basically humble the men, the disciples, asking which one of basically us will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Well, they have to be like little children. That's obedient, that's faithful, that's believing in what the Father teaches and the Father says. That is impactful. It's impactful on those teaching and those learning and those around. Turn to Mark chapter 10, please. We'll continue this a little bit. This context of these sets of verses are not overlooking a child. Don't look past a child, because every child is important. So it's Mark chapter 10. And we will begin in verse 13. Mark 10 and verse 13 states, and they brought young children to him, to Christ, and he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children, allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. Don't stop them. Don't hinder them. Don't put a roadblock in front of these little children. Christ wanted the little children to come to him. Suffer the little children, once again, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at that last little statement. Let's flip the words around. The kingdom of heaven is for such individuals. The kingdom of heaven is for the little children. Those that are childlike, those that Christ just equated in Matthew about, if you receive them, you're receiving me. If you offend them, you might as well be offending me. That's who the kingdom of heaven is for. And as I preface right at first, we're all children to God. You, me, everybody out there. But you as young men and women, you can have such a role to play to help better yourselves, to help better those around you, knowing, trying to drive home the mind of God when he's referencing, when the importance he puts on young men and women like yourselves, and even younger, and yes, older. He loves everybody. But we're talking about the young ones, younger than the adults, in the church. And you'll basically go big in the entire world. So now let's break it down into a few kind of hows and whats and stuff. So let's begin with the how. How do you learn that right way? How do you learn those doings that set you apart, that you're known by, that make you who you are? So let's begin. It's an easy first one. I'm going to throw you out a softball at first. It's the tools of Christian growth. Number one, it's study, prayer, and meditation. All of you all either are or have been students. You understand. If you want to learn something, if you want to better yourself in any subject, study is required. It takes a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, but that little bit of time, that little bit of effort pay off tenfold, if not more. And then the prayer. Prayer is having a conversation with God. You have conversations with each other. Well, talk to God, not necessarily as you're talking to each other, but tell God what you feel, your concerns, what you're thankful for, asking for advice and guidance and help. As with your human parents who want to hear that from you, want to know how you're doing. How did your day go? Your parents ask you that. How did your day go? Well, our Father in heaven wants to hear that from His children as well, His young men, His young women. So that was a softball. The number two how way, we can say, how to learn the right ways, the right things to do, is observation. Ambassador Center, there's a term used. It's called Observation 101. Observation 1. Who has heard that term before? You hear it in most all of y'all have heard. You have Observation 101. What that's referencing is learning from seeing something done the right way. Learning from a positive example. That's one way that you can learn the right things to do, the right way to live. You can observe. Say, who do you observe? Who do you watch? Well, you watch each other, which is good. Nothing wrong with that. But you also watch the other members, the older people in the congregation who, believe it or not, they've been through similar situations, trials that you've been through. Every young man and woman said, no, my mom and dad, I know they just don't understand what I'm going through right now. They have. They do. They're there with wonderful advice, examples that they use to get through a situation. You go to them, but you're also watching them, how they handle situations. You observe them. Third way, the how to learn that right way, is with questions, which kind of tied into what I was saying right there. You don't just sit back. If you have a question and want an answer or need an answer, seek out that answer. Go ask. And once again, who are you supposed to ask? And, you know, in a way, who are you not supposed to ask, especially the bigger questions, those questions that your parents have already went through? So the first that you're supposed to go to, you know, is the Father. Go to God. Go to Him in prayer. Go to Him in your Bible study. His words are right there. Prayer is kind of our time to talk. Bible studies, when it's our time to listen and to hear God speak. Because every scripture is a living scripture. Two people can read the same scripture and get different answers, and they're both true. God knows what we need to hear in His Word. And He directs us that way. He helps us that way. But turn to Titus chapter 2, and let's see specifically who God says and instructs the young men and women. That's directly who he's addressing here, the young men and women who they are to go to for answers. It's Titus chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 1. That's Titus 2 and verse 1. It states, "Bespeak you the things which become sound doctrine." He was talking about God's law. Basically, you know, when you're seeking these answers to whom God's instructing to talk, it's regarding God's law. You know, it's not like, what am I going to have for lunch today? Or should I wear a blue shirt or a white shirt? You know, these are things, if you're wanting to know God's laws, who God says to go and talk to. Verse 2. "That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach," number one, this is the aged women, "that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Once again, this is regarding doctrine. How do the young women, you go to the aged women and say, how am I, you know, how can I do better keeping this law? How can I do better as a young lady to purport myself to be a better young lady and a future, you know, old aged, you know, lady as they are in God's way according to His doctrine. We keep reading. "Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works in doctrine." Once again, God's law, "showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you." When the young ladies go to the aged women, when the young men go to the aged men and ask for advice on, and, you know, examples of how they handled this, I won't say crisis, but this situation regarding a doctrine of God, they're going to tell you, those in the church, they're going to tell you the right way. Now, your minister and your minister's wives are aged men and aged women that you go to as well. I'm not saying don't talk to your minister. Talk to your minister. But the others, don't forsake talking to them as well. And when you do, the advice that they give you on doctrine, this verse 8 talks about that, that even those, let's say the world, that don't understand what we do, what we believe, and why we do it, if we're doing the right things, they're going to know that they cannot speak any evil against us. They might try, but they know in their own heart it won't be the truth. If, and well, I'll say forget the if, when you as young men and women are doing the right things. And again, that's how you
will be and are known today by your doings.
Okay. That was the how.
Get into the what. What? What roles do you play or can you play?
Well, right now you are, whether you know it or not, understand it or not, you do to some degree, you're doing virtually everything that I have on this list. So this is not an exhaustive list. But with everything that we, you included, me included, everybody in the church, whatever we are doing as decent and orderly as it is, we can always do a little better. So here are a few things that can help, you know, grow your impact, once again, on your congregation, how you're seen, how you're observed, how you're known in your local congregation. Number one, you attend Sabbath services. No? You're obeying God. You're keeping that fourth commandment. Before I came into the church in the world, I had no idea to do that. And hearkening back to the impression that I got from the young men and women down to the infants in Sabbath services, 2-hour services, seeing from the little, the infants to the young men and women sit there, you know, upright. Now, the infants, they can sleep, we understand that. But I've seen some that are set up in little suits and ties and dresses, you know, and even keeping notes, have little briefcases. It's so cute. But that is something that you're already doing. That's a role that being in services inspires those in the congregation. They said, if even a little child can come and sit through services, there's no reason I can't. Up to the young men and women doing the very same thing. Another one, you're here at this Bible study. You've taken time out of your day, out of what is your free time, out of this preparation day to come and sit for a Bible study. You know, you're taking notes. You're listening. That's a role that you play. Proper dress. Again, it goes to how meaningful, how inspired I was by the youth. That was one of the things that stood out for me in my first, and still does, about the youth when I first started attending, is how they were dressed. You all are dressed better than anybody that I really ever saw in a worldly organization. The young kids, the younger, are dressed better. You know that we are coming before our Father. And when we come before our Father, we put on our best. Best does not equate with cost. It has nothing to do with it. But we put on our best because we're showing awe, we're showing reverence, we're showing respect to our Father. When you do what just comes natural to you, trust me, you're making an impact on your local congregation. They're wanting, in many cases, I won't say all, but in many, if not most, some of those adults are wanting to keep up with your appearance, not in vanity by any means, but they're saying, look, these young people, they're taking the time to put on their best, to look their best. It makes an impact. Another role to play, and that many of y'all do, is set up and clean up in your local congregation. No matter how large or small a congregation, there's chairs to straighten up, there's a potluck to prepare for, a meal to prepare for. There are just an infinite number of things to prepare before services and after services. Is that set up and clean up? It also involves helping people come into a hall. If you see a need for someone to, you know, they're coming through the hall or the front door of a home and their hands are full, you can go over and take something out of their hands to help them, open the door for them. You know, that's a role to play, and it's meaningful. It's meaningful. Child care. Some of the young ladies, I see it here. I know it. I've seen it in other congregations. When a young couple have an infant, and one of the young ladies goes over and offers to watch that young infant during the potluck, or right before services, or maybe after services, even after the potluck, so the parents can go and fellowship. That's beneficial to those parents. They appreciate that. Yes, they want to spend every waking moment with their child, but they also want to be a part of the congregation and fellowship. And I know it benefits the young ladies to help. To being around children reminds us of how precious life is and the joy. A little child will just laugh at anything, and they will light up the room, just as you, God's youth, light up a room, even light in a lit room. Okay, now, let's go ask yourselves, what else can you do that you may not have even realized? Some other points. Fellowship. I see you all fellowshipping, which is wonderful. You fellowship with each other, your peers. But what about the aged men and aged women in your congregation? If you want to learn their experiences, how they handled their life and the situations that they faced, the test and trials, and the joy, it's not just asking how you handled this trial and this trial. Ask them, you know, how you came in the church. They want to share. You'll put your light in them. Their eyes will just, you know, explode. You know, to look at this fine young man, this fine young lady wanting to sit down and talk with me, spend time with me. Don't just stick with one group when you fellowship before and after services. Try to find a different seat to set in. Talk to everybody. Get to know them. They're your family. We're all children of God, so you're still talking to God's children. Some are older than the others. Some are younger than the others. Look for needs. When you see somebody in your congregation in need of something, I mentioned a little bit earlier, if you see they need someone to help them carry something in, they need somebody to open the door for them, help them straighten up chairs, set up for the potluck, break down, care for their child. Don't wait for them to ask. Go up. Take the initiative. You will help change their lives to see wonderful, I won't even say fine, wonderful youth in God's church. And you'll motivate them. Another softball, smile. Say thank you. Say please. You know that those are just natural things. They come without thought for you all. But those are sorely lacking in this world. And you know, we're not of the world, but we do live in the world. These things, the smiles, the thank yous, and the pleases, are almost a lost cause in this world. Almost that proverbial blue moon. It's such a rarity out there. So when the brethren come out of their work during the week on the Sabbath, and they get to see and see your smile, hear your pleases, hear your thank you, sit down and fellowship with you, it means something to them. It motivates them to maybe even show up a little early. Maybe I get to talk to that young man or woman today. How I want to hear what happened to them this day, this week. I hope they ask me. Ask them. Share with them. Here's a big one. AYC. AYC, Ambassador Youth Camp. Most all of y'all have been. Some of are still in that age. Some have aged out. It's wonderful, though. AYC. If you've aged out, don't think you still can't be a part of it. think about volunteering as a counselor, as a helper. If you're still of age, don't miss it. Look forward to it. Actually, make AYC a goal every single year. Like I said, if you've aged out, make it a goal to be a part of it in some form, some way. If you can be there as a counselor, wonderful. If you can be there with your support, wonderful. If you can be there as a camper, wonderful. If you're not of age yet, still make it a goal. Make it a goal every year to prepare yourself for AYCA. You know, as youth who have been there multiple times, how impactful that is on you. How big of influence AYC is to your life. You can probably recall if you've been multiple years. Each year, there was a point in each year that helped change you in some way, whether it's your thinking or your attitude or whatever it might be. It's important. Now, when you get home from AYC, don't forget all those things and say, well, I learned some wonderful tools, some wonderful roles to play and how I can help and be and impact, but I'm not going to use them until AYC next year. Apply them each and every day. And through that application, you're going to, and I know from experience, personally seeing, personally talking to, and observing others, hear the stories, see the change and the impact AYC made on campers is phenomenal. It's wonderful. And share your experiences. One way to share the experiences, when the AYC magazine comes out, take it with you. Everybody gets one, but take yours with you to your congregation. And point out, you see this picture? I remember that picture. Yeah, that's me, and that's so-and-so, and that's so-and-so. They're from this part of the country. They're from a different part of the world. We were getting ready to do this. Oh, and it was so much fun. Tell them stories. A picture, as they say, tells a 1,000 words. Well, you put a picture coupled with the context of that, it's immeasurable what that can do. And it will light up the brethren's eyes. You will be the center of that congregation on that Sabbath. And you will have an impact. You will inspire. You will teach. One way you will inspire is, let's say, I didn't know AYC did that much. I thought it was just the normal camp. Like, for instance, they may have went to a summer camp as a child. I guarantee you, any summer camp they went to, unless it was in the Worldwide Church of God, was nothing like AYC. They said, when I first, I was an assistant counselor 1 year. I had no idea how wonderful AYC was. Just as a counselor there, it affected me. I've told everybody in every congregation that I've been over about AYC. And I've tried to promote and push it. That's another way that your impact can be felt. They may not be able themselves, the aged men and women, go to camp unless they're volunteering. But they can be motivated to support it more and more. Those at camp, wouldn't you like to see twice as many campers? 4 times as many campers? 10 times as many campers? Go up exponentially, and then from that exponential increase, there'll be an exponential benefit and joy coming off that. And that can start tomorrow. The Sabbath is tomorrow. You're going to be in your local congregation. I know camp ended. But like I said, don't set aside and wait till the next camp to apply what you learn. Don't set aside and wait till next camp to share what you've learned. Start immediately. Don't waste time. I've mentioned before, different times, yesterday's not here, tomorrow's gone, but today is now. Put into practice right now. Okay. We've looked at the how. We've looked at the what. Now we're going to look at the why. The why in
why should you try to, have your doings be known? Why should you try to be an impact on your local congregation, within your local congregation? Now, make the why that we're going to talk about your anchor. Make it your anchor. I put this at the end with a still few pages, so it's not quite the end, but a few pages. Make the why your anchor. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we'll just read one scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. This is the fifth commandment. This is the commandment with promise. The world doesn't read the promise. They stop short of the promise. But we're going to read everything. Deuteronomy 5:16 states, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you." So start off, it's a command. You must honor your father and your mother. Why? That your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. A couple little points in there, and honestly, I didn't catch the last point that I'll touch on until a couple hours ago when I was reading through this again. But days may be prolonged. What's that referencing to? Well, you know, there was a long day. It's not referencing that. It's not like, all right, now everybody else who doesn't honor their father and mother, they have 24 hours in the day. I'm going to have 25. I'm going to have an extra hour to either do more, or I might just have an extra hour of sleep. That's not what it's talking about. It's not what it's talking about. The other kind of thing that I kind of popped into my mind as I was reading this, where it says, "And that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Think about what land God is going to give us. That is a promise. Just like your prolonged days are a promise. And I'm not going to say if, when you honor your father and mother. So once again, what is God referencing? Days may be prolonged. Turn to Romans. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. So we're going to find out. We're going to find out what God references. And it's actually a dual meaning. It also means you're going to live a long, prosperous life, fulfill your full potential of life as a human being in the flesh. Yes, it is referencing that, but it's referencing something else. So Romans chapter 2 and verse 6. "Who will render to every man according to his deeds," his doings. Another important, scripture. But what are you doing? How are you doing it? That's how you're known. Verse 7. "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Can there be, could there be a greater prolonged life than eternal life? That's the greater context of Deuteronomy 5:16. And that land that you're promised to live that prolonged life when you honor your mother and your father, it's the kingdom of God. It's a land that we know is coming. What's known as the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. And it's coming to earth. Here on earth is where the kingdom of God is coming. And you know that. You understand that. But don't forget this promise. God's making you a promise. We know God cannot lie. And yes,
A 25th hour in the day might be nice if you need an extra hour of sleep, but eternal life is much better than that form of prolonged days. So, until baptism, brother, and some in here are baptized now, which is wonderful. God's Spirit is working with you, but not yet in you. When you come up out of that watery grave, which is what the baptismal tank references, it pictures the watery grave. When you come up out of that and the hands are laid on and your minister asks God to put His Spirit in you, that point is when God is working in you. But until then, God is working with you. Have you ever wondered, why is God's Spirit, God, you know, through His Spirit, working with you as a young child, from an infant up until baptism? It's because of your parents. You're receiving that blessing because of what your parents are doing. So let that drive home the importance of the fifth commandment, of honoring your father and your mother, because of their doings, their conversion, how they're making changes in their life to follow God's laws, to follow God's doctrines. God is blessing the youth with immeasurable blessings. You're able to actually learn and understand Scripture. There are ministers in this world that do not know as much about Scripture as you do. I've talked to some on the phone that have called. They might be able to quote Scripture wonderfully, but they don't know Scripture, even as you do. Even before God has given His Spirit to His youth, and working with, you're able, to learn and understand the context of God's words and make it meaningful to you, make it impact you. Once again, take that home, apply that to, all right, how much more and how many more ways can I honor my father and my mother? Because when you do, you're honoring the Father. Okay, now, why? Another one of the whys. Why prolonged days? Why? Why? You know, getting back to that fifth commandment. And we learn what the long days are, the prolonged days, but why? Were we in Romans? Yes, stay in Romans and go to chapter 8. There were so many different scriptures on this, I tried to narrow it down. Otherwise, this could have been a really long Bible study. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. We're going to see why prolonged days. You know, what's the purpose of the long days? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We owe something. Not to the flesh. We don't owe to the flesh. We don't owe to this world in this context here, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. If we don't, when we come up out of that watery grave, that baptismal tank, if you've already done it or when you do it, you're leaving that your old man, your old woman in that watery grave. You're leaving them there. And it's a struggle every single day to keep them down. They want to come out. They don't want to stay in there. They battle it. But now, at baptism, you not only have God's Spirit working with, but now in, and you have His power. You have His strength to overcome those pulls of the flesh. So, we'll go back now, reread 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. That's keeping that old man, that old woman in that water grave. You don't want to go back to the flesh. You want to live after the Spirit. You want to live after the flesh. You want to live after the guidance the influence of God's Spirit. Now, at that point in time, working with you, not just in. Now, you say just in. That's an incredible thing. But now it's with you. It's within you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are, gets to the why part, sons of God. See, daughters of God, children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, which means sonship, whereby we cry, Father, Father, Abba, Father. I was thinking about this today as well. That cry, it's not a cry of pain. It's not a cry of sorrow. I just imagine how moved the Father will be when we become those spirit sons, spirit daughters, and as spirit beings cry out, Abba, Father, for him hearing that for the first time from his newly begotten sons and daughters. I can't imagine it not moving God. Verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Sons of God, children of God. It's giving a big hint to the why for that prolonged day. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Why the prolonged days? You have an inheritance. You have an inheritance to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Where is Christ sitting right now? Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He put off the literal flesh. He was resurrected back into the Godhead. It is the Father, and it is Christ, the Son. And your inheritance, my inheritance, is to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ, sitting in the presence of the Father and Christ. Not in the flesh, but as spirit beings. That's your inheritance. That's a reason to make sure your doings are well. Your doings are right. That your impact in your congregation is meaningful. And it is. That it helps to move the individuals. So, what does heirs of Christ mean? What's that referencing? What does that mean? Stay in Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 18. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed unto us. It doesn't matter what we face in this world, what you face as young men and women. Now, I will say this. Being that you grew up in the digital age, I grew up in the analog age. You might say, well, analog? What's that? Well, let me give you an example. Who here has ever seen or who has ever used a rotary dial telephone? One. That's all we had for a while. That was high tech. That's a good example, best I can come up with the top of my head, as analog. Well, you face things in the digital world, in this world, that we don't face. We face them in different degrees, different avenues, but you face things in your work, in your school, that I can't imagine. And to see how you compose yourself, how you handle yourself, how you stay, upbeat is amazing. I know why. Because you're of your doings, of you keeping that fifth commandment, those blessings of God. How you're doing all the right things. So don't think that anything is too hard, too tough. That anything that comes your way can't be overcome. That it's not worthy of what you are doing. It's like, is this worthy? Is what I'm doing worth? My life in this world after the flesh could be much easier. But it's not worth it. We talked about our inheritance. You know, those prolonged days. To be in the presence of Christ and the Father for eternity. What would compare to that on this world, in this world? Nothing. Nothing. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for that resurrection, that first, those first fruits, that where the Father is going to hear Abba, Father, for the first time by many. Probably heard it from Jesus Christ, but he's going to hear it from all of you. He's going to hear it from everyone in God's church at the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty, that glorious freedom of the children of God. So it goes back to being an heir with Christ and what our inheritance is. There's that freedom. That's that freedom that that ultimate freedom to inherit the kingdom of God, to be one of God's, you know, spirit-born children. Now, what we've covered today, we've went over the importance of your role in your local congregation. We've touched on just literally a fraction of the ways that you can have an impact on your local congregation. Just thought of another one here. Another way that you can do this is your positive impact, your positive role can grow the church by helping grow your congregation. And here's how. When new people come into the church, I use myself as that example. I just remembered, I'll finish off my story too. To where they're coming out of a dark world. They come out of a dark world not knowing the light, not used to seeing young lights. They come in and see how wonderful God's youth are. They see the standard that even the youth are keeping and upholding. And it motivates them and inspires them. They see your joy. They want part of that joy. It helps keep them in their seat when they face the test and the trials. Many think, well, as soon as I come into God's church, it's going to be just easy, you know, easy walking, no problems. Not at all. But seeing you handle yourself, seeing how you grow, how you are full of joy, motivates and helps keep them in their seats. Now think of this, a new couple coming in with children. Children that have never seen how children are supposed to behave, how they're supposed to properly dress, how they're to be polite and kind. Do you think that those parents are not, you know, wanting to stay in an organization that is going to help teach their children exactly what you are doing? That's another way your doings, that you're known by them, that helps keep and grow your local congregation, which helps to grow the entire church. You can come up, you can think, you can brainstorm, come up with innumerable numbers of ways that you can be an impact, that can be, are and even be a greater impact on your local congregation. Now, here's the back end of my story. Now, I've told this before. You know, I've talked about how impressed I was with all the kids. I still am. But I remember I was in the church a couple years, and I was home visiting my mother, and I asked her one day, kind of knowing what the answer was going to be because I was asking my mom. I asked her, I said, "Mom, was I a good kid growing up?" And of course, my mom said, "Well, yeah, you were a good kid." I looked at her and I said, no, I wasn't. I've seen good kids. I've seen wonderful children. I've seen incredible young men and women because I've now in God's church. I've seen them in my congregations now. I've told her, you know, that you inspired me. You impressed me with many of the things that we talked about. So know this, young men, young women. If you take anything away from this Bible study, take this point. Take this one point. You are not defined by your age. You're not. You are defined by what you do. It's how you're known. It's how you're remembered. That's how you make an impact. What are you doing? How often are you doing it? When are you going to do it again? And never forget that. Also, never forget this. You are seen. You are needed. You are appreciated. And above all, you are loved.